wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. We ask you, O God, to open our hearts to understanding, to help us to put this word out the way that you've given it to us, Lord, and help us to know that we've been in your presence tonight. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I'd like to leave a thought with you tonight. Don't pass me by. Don't pass me by. Yeah, like Brother Martin said, you know, we want people to bump into us. We do. We don't want to be passed by. Because don't pass me by. I might be able to leave a clean spot on you. But sometimes, we find a time we just have to be alone. And Jesus did that. He found that time, and we read it said, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. While he sent them away, he sent his disciples off into the storm. He sent the people away. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. He had to be alone. Sometimes we just can't seem to be around people. Sometimes we have to get alone. Sometimes we just can't be around all the mess that's around us. We get tired of everything. The other day I was sitting there feeling sorry for myself. I was tired of all of it. I was sick and tired. No, I don't feel sorry for myself very often, do I? About every third Tuesday. No, but really, I was sitting there feeling sorry and all alone because, man, it seemed like everything that was happening every day. The main thing that happened in my life every day for about 4 days in a row was somebody was breaking into things and stealing. And I was getting so tired of it. It got to the point I won't even go up there and nail them doors back on. I've had it. I don't care. Burn them down. Take everything there is. I don't care. I will not go back and nail them doors back up. I ain't going to do it. Somebody just come take them off again. But what's the point? I hadn't been up there. I drove by there yesterday. I wouldn't look. I looked the other way. I wouldn't even go up there today. I was supposed to be there today at noon at the fellow's place. I wouldn't even go there. I was sick and tired of it all. And you know, I felt like I just needed to be alone. So this morning I spent some time in prayer, spent some time reading the Bible, and I just didn't go there where I knew things were going to be getting on my nerves, but things were going to be bad. I didn't go up yonder. I left that alone. And when Jesus went to the mountain to pray, he went there because he knew the folks wouldn't understand anything. They wouldn't understand the things of God. You know, people, we're like that. You know, the world today doesn't understand the things of God. They don't understand the Holy Ghost. They don't understand prayer. They don't. They have no idea what it's about. They can't seem to get it. Oh, Jesus went to the mountain because he needed a refreshing. He'd been there around all the multitudes teaching, giving. He'd just fed 5,000. Well, no, he didn't. The disciples did. But he blessed it. And he broke it. Uh-huh. And then they fed 5,000 people. He'd just done all that. And he'd been with those folks for all day long. He was wore out. He had to get a refreshing. So he went to the mountain to pray. He knew how to get a refreshing. Sometimes the whole world, it seems like the world depends on its senses, just what it can sense. You know, in its surroundings. That's what the world depends on. What it senses. But it cannot sense. It can't make sense of God. World can't make sense of God. It can't do it. That's why it doesn't understand prayer. But we do. We know what prayer is for. When we need a cleansing, when we need a refreshing, we go to our prayer closet. We come here on Tuesday nights to pray. We know how to get a refreshing. We know who to go to, where to go. But the point is, Jesus sent the disciples into the storm. He knew they'd be all right. He sent them across the lake, across the Sea of Galilee, and said, I'm going to go up here. I'm going to get rid of these people, and I'm going up yonder. I'm going to do some praying. But when evening was come, and the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land, he saw them. How'd he do that? He saw them toiling, for the wind was against them, it said. He was up on a mountain, alone on the land, there in the midst of the sea. He knew where he'd sent them. He knew what was fixing to happen. He sent them into, that's like us. He said, you know, send the church right into the storm. We're going to get off in the midst of it. Things are going to rub off on us. Things are going to get on us. We're going to see things we don't want to see. We're going to hear things we don't want to hear. And, you know, people are going to do things right there beside us we don't want any part of. And like the brother said, well, sometimes it seems like we got to repent every day. Man, I'll tell you what, I couldn't get much madder than I was getting. I was mad at getting mad. I was just tired of it. I was tired of having to repent every day for the thoughts I was thinking of the people that were stealing from me. And you know what? It didn't matter. None of that stuff was any good anyway, or I wouldn't have left it there, was it? Huh? Think about it. What was the point in worrying about it? Yeah. I wouldn't have left it up there if I was that worried about it. But you know what? Sometimes we just get tired of it. And the things about us just, we've had enough. We end up having to repent all the time. We get tired of having to repent every time we turn around. How did Jesus see them? They were so far away. How did he see them? How did he see them off in the midst of the sea, rowing, toiling against the wind? How did he see that? I'll tell you what, when he saw him, I don't know. We know who he is. We know who Jesus is. We know how he saw him. He already knew where he sent them. He knew where he was sending us. He knew we were going to be in the midst of all this stuff that we're in today. That somehow we were going to be rubbing against this stuff. We're going to be getting in the slime pit, so to speak. We were going to be getting in the mud, so to speak. And we were going to be rubbing up against it. Yes, some of that we're going to have to brush it off, go repent of it, clean it off. But we were going to be rubbing some of them spots onto them at the same time. But he sent them out there. So he knew what they were getting into. He knew where they were at. And said he saw them. And he went to him. Jesus saw him, and he went to him. He saw from afar that his disciples needed help, and he came to them. And he got there, he was near in the vicinity. It said when he was near in the vicinity, he was just kind of close to him. He just made himself available. You know? There's the disciples toiling in the wind. The wind's about to blow them all over the place. They think it's going to flip the boat upside down. And they're getting worried. They're real worried. And all of a sudden, you know, that's not bad. They're used to this because they fight these gales all the time. They were fishermen. They knew what was happening. So, oh, man, if we turn it, headed right into this wave, we'll be all right. Headed into the next wave, we'll be all right. They knew what they were doing. They were experienced oarsmen. They knew what they were doing. So that didn't make them afraid. What made them afraid was seeing Jesus where he hadn't ought to be. Now, that scared them. Yeah, that scared them. You know what? They turned around and said, Jesus was in the vicinity. He made himself available to them because he knew that they might need a little help. So I'm going to be here, but I'm not going to get in their way if they don't want me. Well, they were doing a good job of it, but they were kind of struggling at it suddenly, and they weren't scared. But man, they looked up and they saw Jesus walking on the water, and they had great fear, great fear. Man, that scared them snotless. Well, I'll tell you what, they were scared. Oh, and they cried out. And they cried out. Said, the scripture said, and Jesus would have passed them by, but they cried out. But they didn't cry because they wanted his help. They cried because he scared them. I'm telling you what, I see Jesus standing beside me when I'm kneeling in prayer. That's liable to scare me. I don't know. You know, we're always praying, oh, Lord, help me, Lord. Oh, be there for me, Jesus. Show me this, show me that. Well, if he ever shows himself to us, we won't know how to act. But it's scary, sure enough, wouldn't it? Ooh, I tell you what, it scared them. They got, Master, is that you? He said, it is, huh? I'm here. Everything going to be all right. I'm here. Everything going to be okay. We're going to take care of it. That's what he said. He came to the vicinity, made himself available, and when they called out to him, he comforted them. They were no longer afraid. They were no longer afraid. They knew he was nearby. He was there to help. They knew that he was there. He rewarded them for faith. He comforted them. Hebrews 11:6 said, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So we must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And now we get to the meat of it. Diligently seek him. Do you know that every time that the Israelites got in trouble, every time they began to be persecuted, every time that somebody came and just ground them into the ground, they diligently sought the Lord. And he usually just came and just tore their enemies up. But prior to that, they were half-heartedly seeking the Lord, because they didn't really need him. See, where there is no need, there's not going to be many blessings, I guarantee you. Because people don't seem to seek God for it. Prior to really needing to diligently seek the Lord, the Israelites wanted to be like the people they were around. They wanted to worship their gods and serve their gods because it was easier. It was more convenient, if you will. And it was prettier because they got to party all the time and do all the things that the world does. And they could look just like them and call themselves Christians. Well, they couldn't call themselves Christians back then. But you get what I'm saying. I know you do. Because it's happening right now. Sometimes we don't diligently seek him. Because it gets a whole lot easier if I go over yonder to this place and just worship over here with them and be like they are. I can be like they are and not have to do the things that I need to. But you know what I'm going to do? When things get tough, I'm going to call on Jesus. When things get rough, I'm going to find myself at a Pentecostal altar. When I can't take it no longer, I'm going to find myself diligently seeking him. And that's something. We will diligently seek him when we really have a need. And you know what happens? If we only look to God in our adversity, eventually he gets tired of it. I guess he does. I don't know. He's never got tired of it yet from me. And I'm so thankful he's long-suffering. I'm telling you right now, he's long-suffering. I'm telling you, folks, he is. I mean, and I know he is. I'm living proof that he is long-suffering and patient. He has loving kindness and great, great mercy. He does. Now, the Israelites, they only sought him diligently in their adversity. And they began serving other gods, the gods of their neighbors, every chance they got. But if we diligently seek the Lord, anyway, the world will try to hush you up. Now, these folks, they didn't always diligently seek the Lord. But when they did, the world tried to hush them up. I have to tell you, there was a time when my daughter was in Head Start. You know what? Everybody know what Head Start is? Head Start. Every day in Head Start, they would give her cookies and Kool-Aid, or sometimes milk and cookies. But she always had the cookies. Now, my daughter was 4 years old. And she had to pray before she could eat. And she knew she did. And so every day when they gave them to her, she'd bow her head, fold her hands, and start praying. thank you for the food I ate. God is good, God is great, all kinds of good things. But she always said it, and she said it out loud. And every day they told her, you can't do that. You know, we don't allow that here. But I have to. I want to eat those. I want those cookies, and I can't eat them until I pray. I said, well, pray quietly. Well, she said, I don't know how. I can't pray quietly. The Lord won't hear me. God won't hear me. So every day she prayed anyhow, no matter what the people said. They sent us letters. They called us. They told us, you got to make her stop praying. It's a four-year-old girl. You got to make her stop praying. And you know, we tell her, we've been teaching her for 4 years to pray. Why would we want to stop now? Well, you know, we may have to kick her out of here. Well, you're going to have to do what you got to do. But if you do, it's going to be because of prayer, because we're not going to tell her to stop praying. And she kept praying every day. They finally gave up fighting it. And right now in Fairbanks, Alaska, in the First United Pentecostal Church of Fairbanks, there's a lady and her family that are saved, that have got the Holy Ghost, been baptized in Jesus' name, and have been living an overcoming life for 32 years. Because a four-year-old girl prayed. Hallelujah. Refused to quit praying. They came to church because she prayed every day. They said, hey, if it's good enough for a four-year-old girl, it's got to be good enough for us. I'm gonna tell you one thing about somebody that was diligent. Y'all remember the story of blind Bartimaeus? Blind Bartimaeus, how he sat by the road, you know, begging all the time. And when Jesus came by, they tried to hush him up too, because he got a little diligent when he started seeking the Lord. You know what I mean by diligent? He got a little loud, he did. He wanted Jesus to hear him. And when Jesus came by, he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they said, oh, hush up, hush up. You're making too much noise. People around said, hush up. You know what he did? He said, he cried the louder. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He got louder. Jesus heard him. He said, Jesus stopped. He stopped. And commanded him to be called and brought to him. So them guys, you know, they said, wow, they were surprised. They got excited. They went over to him, hey, Bartimaeus, master's calling for you. Rise and come on. First thing Bartimaeus did, he was diligent. He was seeking the Lord. He wanted Jesus to hear him. He needed something from God. He was diligent. First thing he did was throw off that garment. Throw it off. Cast his head. He cast it aside. He didn't want it no more. He stood up. He arose in faith because he knew what he was asking for. He knew what he wanted to touch the Lord for. And that garment told who he was. The garment said, this is a blind beggar. Help him if you can. That's what that garment said. Oh, that garment, that's the way it was made to tell who you were. That's what people's coats were in those days. They told you who they were. He cast that coat aside. He didn't want any part of it. He had sought the Lord diligently, and the Lord heard him, and he knew that he heard him, and he said, come here. And when he got up, first thing he did was in obedience and faith, he cast off his garment and went to see him. And you know what? He got exactly what he expected to get. He got that clean spot. Oh, yeah. When he got over, when they rubbed on him, he got that clean spot. He rose, he cast his garment away in faith, and he rose in obedience. He wouldn't let Jesus pass him by. He wouldn't let Jesus pass him by. See, we find out that Jesus would have passed the disciples by, but they cried out. Said he would have passed them by, but they cried out. And sometimes the blessings will pass us by. Sometimes when we just, all this gets all too much for us. Sometimes when all the filth gets so much that we just, oh, can't take it anymore. He'll pass us by if we don't cry out. My point today is don't pass me by. Don't pass me by, Jesus. Don't pass me by, Brother Hart.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We can't afford to allow the Spirit of God to pass us by. He would have passed them by, but they cried out. Even though their cry was motivated by fear, Jesus was motivated by compassion. Sometimes we are fearful. But oh, thank God that the Lord, He knows how to cause our fears to flee. Amen. He can cast our fears, amen, away. The Bible says perfect love casteth out fear. Amen. His love toward them. Amen. Man, their fears melt away. Praise God. But they got His attention. They got His attention. And they got their miracle. Hallelujah. If we can get the attention of God, I believe that we can also, amen, benefit from the miraculous power of God. Because He knows exactly what we need, when we need it. Oh, I'm glad that we can have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Would you stand? Let's thank God for these words of wisdom that we've heard tonight. Lord Jesus, we thank You, God. Lord, for the word that we have heard. God, we pray, Lord, let us hide it away in our heart. Lord, let it be upon our mind. Lord, let it cause in us, Lord, create in us a desire, Lord. Lord, to serve You in perfect love. Lord, in faith, Lord Jesus, and we give You praise and honor in Your name. Amen. Thank You for coming. Thank You, Brother Fry, Brother Martin, for the word of the Lord. And we look forward to seeing you tomorrow night. God bless you. You're dismissed.